the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Last week, we considered the battle before us, our daily and lifelong combat against the world, the flesh, and the devil. This battle is one faced by every man and woman, Christian or not, and whether they know it or not. Of course, one of our main responsibilities in this life as Christians is to help others understand this conflict that they are in, to help them recognize the realities of this life, and that with the help of God, we all have the power we need to confront and overcome. Every year on the second Sunday of Lent, the Church presents to us one of the most beautiful and mysterious episodes in the entire Gospel, the Transfiguration of our Lord. This event, witnessed by the apostles Peter, James, and John, can seem like a departure from the Lenten sequence of readings, or even kind of a random outlier in the Gospels themselves. But this experience of these three apostles, called pillars by St. Paul, provides an essential perspective on the Christian life and an essential station in our Lenten journey. We consider today the glory to be revealed and the path we must follow to get there. First, we all are called to glory, to blessedness, to the perfect vision of God. The description of our Lord in his transfiguration is extremely similar to that of his glorified body after the resurrection. St. Luke tells us, his face changed in appearance and his clothes became dazzling white. St. Matthew in his account says, his face shone like the sun and his garments became white as light. Later, the Lord risen from the tomb is described in this way, his appearance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. For the briefest moment, the apostles are given a glimpse of the glorified body of Jesus. They're given the grace to pierce through the veil separating heaven and earth, and very nearly experience the vision of God himself in this event. Such an experience would have, at the same time, terrified them and filled them with an indescribable joy and peace, as we can only imagine we will experience when we, God willing, see him face to face one day. The vision of the God who is infinitely holy, together with the recognition of our past sins, will at the same time fill us with a holy fear and an unending gratitude for God's mercy. In that moment, we will understand perfectly the declaration of St. Peter, "Lord, it is good that we are here." It's also not at all insignificant that, in order for them to experience this event, our Lord takes them up a mountain. In St. Matthew's account, an exceedingly high mountain. Mount Tabor is around 2,000 feet high, but stands isolated from any other hilly terrain. It's totally surrounded by miles of flat plain, making this mountain appear much taller than it actually is. But just as Moses had to climb Mount Sinai to receive the law from the hand of God, and just as Elijah demonstrated the power of God to the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, so Jesus would lead his apostles up a mountain to see him for who he is, the second person of the Blessed Trinity. What is the path that the apostles and all of us must follow in order to experience this glory? Well, just a few verses before this passage, our Lord makes the following statement. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and the scribes and be killed. He continues, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. The way to glory is the way of the cross. No other path will get us there. The Lord Jesus allows the apostles to experience the briefest glimpse of his glory, so that they will be strengthened, so that they will remember what it is that they will be striving for when it is their turn to take up the cross, which for all but one of the apostles involved their own martyrdom. Obviously, all of this applies to us in an essential way. In order to obtain the eternal vision of God, we must deny ourselves and together with the Lord Jesus walk with him down the Mount of Tabor and up the Mount of Calvary, so that in dying with him, we might rise with him as well. We're also given a gift similar and even in some ways superior to that of the apostles. In the Holy Mass, we too are given a glimpse of God's glory. Our Lord knows more than we ever could our own weaknesses. He knows the crosses that he has allowed us to carry and will in the future. He also knows that because of our weakness, we're never able to carry them alone. And so he gives us himself in the Holy Mass as an opportunity to be strengthened in the way of the cross. As we go up the altar, we are ascending the Mount of Calvary just as the apostles ascended Mount Tabor. As the priest ascends this mountain, he carries all of the intentions of the people with him. And as the sacrifice of the cross is offered in an unbloody manner, we are at once in the presence of the God who made us. For us, this privilege is even greater than that of the apostles. At the same time, we are offering perfect worship to the Father, presenting our Lord back to him together with all of our good works and prayers and sufferings, and we're given the grace to pierce through that veil once again, seeing with the eyes of faith and even tasting and being fed by the God-man Jesus Christ. What a tremendous grace that none of us could ever deserve, but for which all of us should have an infinite gratitude. May this briefest glimpse of the glory to be revealed conjure in us daily the cognizance of the presence of God, and those beautiful words again of St. Peter, "Lord, it is good that we are here." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.